It's good to be back in Home Baptist Church and privileged to preach in this conference. And we have a conference the 5th, 6th, and 7th, first weekend in August. I have to look at my calendar. First Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of August. And start Thursday evening and go through all day Friday and end at noon Saturday, if you can come down. Well, I'm sure you will be blessed. And we'd like to ask you this morning to turn to 2 Timothy. What I'm going to preach on this morning, as you all know, or most of you know, I teach in an alternative school, public school, part of the public school system. If you don't know what an alternative school is, students who get in trouble for whatever reason in the regular school are sent to us. They have to spend a minimum of 9 weeks. But I've witnessed firsthand the result of this sin that I'm going to preach on this morning. We want to begin reading in verse 1. Of 2 Timothy 3. We'll read through verse 5. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." All of these things mentioned in these verses are sins. Sins of our time. We want to look back in verse 3 in the opening phrase there when he says, without natural affection. That's what we want to speak on this morning. Without natural affection. And it's not hard to realize that this is a bad sin of our time. Last evening when Brother Ed Ferguson, a member here, come in, he was telling us that some of you may have seen it on the news. A 9-year-old girl was found in a plastic bag in a storage unit that had been missing, they figured, dead for about 3 weeks. And we can look at things like that, and we could give you a scrapbook full of accounts of child abuse in this way. And we can see that that's a lack of natural affection. We can shake our heads, and we can wonder. But you know, a lack of natural affection is much broader than child abuse. And we want to examine some of the reasons or some of the areas of lack of natural affection today that has even effect on our churches. It's in our churches. And it's not going to get any better before the Lord comes. But you say, what is natural affection? In verse, first of all, let's again look at verse 1. He says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." In verse 3, he says, "Without natural affection." This is part of the perilous times that we're in. A lack of natural affection. Natural affection is speaking of love for kindred, love for your family. So look, glance back in Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. Now, you say, well, this, what we're about to read, has to do with Christ and the bride and the relationship between husband and wife. Natural affection begins between husband and wife. That's where it begins. But here in verse 28, He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it, cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In other words, there's a natural, should be a natural affection. We'll get more on this as we get into the message. There should be a natural affection between husband and wife. And that should be carried on towards your children, towards your siblings. It should be, it's a natural affection, a natural love. And this world is lacking that natural love one for another. And if you read those, look at those other sins that mentions there in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3, you can fit, they all fit together. They all fit together. They're all a plague on our society. And it's not just United States of America. This is a worldwide plague. You know, when Paul penned these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wasn't just looking forward to the United States of America. He was talking about the world. This is a world problem. But we see it in our own nation, in our own churches, in our own communities, because we're more familiar with them. But natural affection means that you cherish the members of your family. You know, my children and my wife and my siblings are more important to me than your families. And that's the way you should feel about your wife and your children and your siblings and your parents. There's a natural bond between mother and child, child and mother, father and child and father. None of us have raised perfect children. Our children, from time to time, they will be rebellious. They will try to go their own way. But if you have that natural love for them and you've raised them correctly, they'll come back. They'll recognize what they've done wrong. And they'll make it right. It's just like if the Lord has added a soul to a church, the Lord Jesus Christ, they may go astray. But that natural affection or spiritual affection between the Lord and them, they will come back and they will get right. Amen. So if you have the natural affection for your own wife, for your own children, for your own siblings, for your own parents, it won't disappear. You may be wayward, but you'll be straightened out. Dealing with public schools and the children who get in trouble, there's no natural affection. When a child commits an offense, and most of the offenses now are drug related, we've had children that have brought weapons to school that have ended up with us. You know the big problem is where there's no natural affection? The parents defend them. You don't defend somebody that has committed an offense. They've been caught with it. A child brought a weapon to the middle school a couple years ago. And their parents did everything they could to keep him from coming to the alternative school. They ought to be thankful that they didn't file federal charges against him. There's just no natural affection there. You know what natural affection was when we were growing up? My dad says, if you get a paddle in that school, you get another one when you come home. I got two paddlings when I was in school. One was in the first grade, and I had that coming. First and second graders were in the same room. And when my sister that's a year older than me, when that bell rang, she ran home to tell my mother that Mrs. Joyce paddled me. she was waiting for me at the back door with a strap. I got it from her and I got it from my dad. And that cured me. That's natural affection. No excuses. But there's a lack of natural affection in this nation around us. God give us the natural instincts to love our family members. It's natural. You know, it's a shame when an old sitting hen has more affection for her chicks than a parent has for their children. I remember those old setting hens, they'd want to sit, and some of them didn't have any eggs. One time my mother put some duck eggs under that old hen. And that she hatched those ducks, little ducklings, and they followed her along. She was a good mother to them until it rained. And those ducks started swimming across that little water hole. And she was sitting there stamping her feet, hollering at me, you know, you're chickens, you're not supposed to go across there. But, you know, that was her natural instinct. She was taking care of them. You know, chickens aren't supposed to swim. She didn't realize she had ducks. Some parents don't realize they have children. Today's self-centered ideas put natural affection on the back burner. It's all me. It's all me as parents. It's all me as children. And children learn what they're taught. Children learn what they're taught. But we want to see where this natural affection fails to begin with. So let's look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. Beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, not by commandment. For would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them to abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than burn." Now that scripture there, that last scripture has been misused a lot. He's not talking about here, if you just can't contain yourself, go out and find the first woman, the first man, and marry him. That's not what he's talking about. Because marriage was going to start with a natural affection. You don't know the person until you marry them. And that's knows, it can have two meanings there. Knowing them physically, and you definitely don't know a person until you begin to live with them. And that's not necessarily bad. But if you care for somebody, and you love them, and you marry them, you become one flesh. You become one flesh. And that if that wife or that husband, whatever your case is, you become one flesh with them, you're going to care for them. You're going to have a natural affection toward them. Not necessarily a jealous spirit. Jealousy is not natural affection. Jealousy is mistrust. In a natural affection, you have to trust one another. and you protect that individual. You care for them. You do for them what is needed for them. But we don't find that in today's world. Marriage is honorable in all, the Bible tells us. The bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers will be judged. The problem with people today is they look at marriage in a lustful thought. If you marriage for lust, if your marriage is based upon lust, it's not going to last. We're living in a world today where children have within their minds that as soon as they reach puberty, it's their right to have sexual relationships with whoever they want. And you listen to these kids, and they know who has what body parts. They'll talk about which one's the best one to be with. There's no natural affection there. It's just pure lust. And where did they learn this? Some of them learn it from peer pressure. But a lot of it is learned from home. And I'm not just talking about what they watch on the television. They learn a lot there. I'm talking about observing their own parents. Some of these kids, their parents have been married three or four times and lived with twice that many people. And why do they switch so much? Because they've never had any natural affection for a mate. It's all based upon sexual lust. And there's nothing natural in that. When people marry for the sole purpose of satisfying their physical gratifications, there's no natural affection. Let's look in Genesis chapter 2 for a moment. This is when God instituted marriage. When he brought Eve and gave her unto Adam. Beginning in verse 21 here, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they became one flesh." Man shall cleave unto his wife. And there's a lot in that word. We're not going to just go into great detail for what that means. But in simplicity, that means you take care of her. You protect her. You love her. You look out for her. Today's world don't do that. So many people marry today, and he goes his way and she goes her way. Once in a while, they meet up at the same place. And then sometimes after 20 or 25 years, they may retire and they find out they can't live together. So they divorce. And then they're right back where they were before. No marriage is perfect. But if you love the person, you'll work through the humps and the bumps. And if you're the man of the house, you're going to care for her. You're going to take care of her. You can do whatever you need to supply what is needed. But that today's world, there's a lack of that natural affection. And homosexuality is not a natural affection. I'm not going to take the time to read through Romans chapter 1, but you read it. And right at the end, it uses that same phrase, without natural affection. Two men together or two women together is not a natural affection. There's a lot of adjectives we could use to describe it, but we'll let it go with that. It's just not natural. But yet, we're living in a society now that is telling us we have to accept it. We don't have to accept it. We had a young man in our academy last fall that started telling all the other guys that he was gay. So I had to report it. They brought the school psychologist over to talk to him. And she was talking to myself and a couple other of the staff members after she talked to this young man. And she says, "Don't get me wrong." And I thought, well, there's a problem here already, you know. She says, "I don't believe in that type of lifestyle. But the law tells us we can't tell him he's wrong." Why not? If it's wrong, it's wrong. If you believe it's wrong, you ought to tell him it's wrong. And so one of this other teachers, male teacher, says, "Well, I've been hit on before," and he says, "and so I just have to walk away." And this psychologist, she says, "Well, have you ever been?" And I says, "One time in my life, I took care of that." She says, "What'd you do?" I says, "Well, I was 21 years old. I was in service. There was this man, the medic, who was claimed that they said he was. He come in my room, grabbed my blanket, and I put a left fist under his jaw, and that was the last of it." He didn't bother us, and it doesn't bother me anymore. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. If it's unnatural, tell them. Natural affection of a mother towards a child. These things that we've seen, this young 9-year-old girl that was found in a plastic bag. Brother Ed was saying that this girl was a paraplegic. What it probably come down to is they just got tired of taking care of her. In our town, earlier this year, there was a woman who was pregnant. Of course, it happened last year, but they run some tests, and they said there was something very wrong with the child. That if the child was born and lived, it would be a vegetable its whole life. And they advised, more than one doctor advised this woman to abort that child. And she said, "No, God has given me this child, and if it's born, I'm going to take care of it."
Amen.
The child was born, lived 3 days, and died. And everybody, the talk amongst the kids, "Well, she's crazy." Why? You know, if God plants a child within your womb, you ought to have a natural affection for that child. You should want to take care of that child regardless. And I'm not saying that it's going to be easy to take care of a child that you know that if it's born and it lives, it's going to be in a vegetative state its whole life. It can't be easy. But if that's what God gives you, He'll give you the grace to take care of it.
Amen.
And there's going to be a natural affection. Let's look in 1 Kings chapter 3. And we see here a case of natural affection. 1 Kings chapter 3. Beginning in verse 16. Says, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the woman said, My Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that the woman was delivered also, and we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And the woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And we stop here just for a second. A mother knows her own child.
Amen.
That's natural affection. You know your own child. She says, and the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and the other's son is dead. The other say, nay, but my son is dead, and thy son liveth. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, and her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other woman said, be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof.
Amen.
Natural affection. That mother was willing to let her child, even if she had to give it up. Why? Because she had that natural bond.
Amen.
It was her child. I raised a son, of which we adopted, and we had three daughters that were biologically ours. And I would have done anything for any of them when we were rearing them, to protect them. Natural bond, natural love, natural affection. It's not natural to neglect children, to starve them, to kill them, to abandon them, to abuse them, or to abort them.
Amen.
And you know what abortion is really? One of the world's uses of birth control. We've seen on the news here last night where the president has lifted the ban that was put in place by George Bush to not allow 17-year-old girls to have the morning after pill, saying that it was political motivated. Well, giving it to them is political motivated.
Amen.
Not giving it to them makes sense.
Right.
You know, it's not natural just to tell them to go out and do whatever they want. There's consequences for sin.
Amen.
And sometimes the consequence of illicit sex is God causes conception. And you need to take care of that. You need to bear the shame. But there's no shame in that anymore either. You find, you know, when, I can remember when I was a child, if a young lady become with child outside of marriage, usually they hit her off, took her off and hid her someplace until the child was born. And more than likely, they give the child up for adoption. Now they give them baby showers, pat them on the back, tell them how beautiful their babies are. and they go on. There's no natural affection in that. There's not. I don't care how well they may take care of the child afterwards. There's no natural affection in that. A mother is the closest relative that a child has. The closest relative. And there's some other instances in the scriptures that we could read, but we'll mention Hannah and Samuel. Hannah was barren, and she prayed, and she asked God for a child. And she said, "If you give me a child, I'll give that child to you." And she conceived and she bore Samuel. And when he was weaned, she took him to Eli and she gave him unto him. But she just didn't take him and drop him off. She continuously came to him. She brought him clothes. Even though Eli raised him, she was there. She cared for him. He gave her other children, but she still continued to come and see Samuel. Hannah loved that child. And she kept the vow that she made with God. Hannah sought this child from God, and she cared for that child. Many times people seek children from God, but then don't show any natural affection for them afterwards. And we're going to get into discipline here in a minute. But the biggest natural lack of affection in today's world is a lack of discipline.
Amen.
A lack of discipline. And this starts with the fathers. This starts with the fathers. I've already mentioned how that what my dad said, and my dad kept his word. And my fear of his keeping his word kept me from doing a whole lot of things that was offered to me when I was growing up. Because I knew if I went out and with those guys at school that I knew that said, "Oh, come on over to our house, we're having a party this weekend." If I'd gone over there and joined, I didn't want to, but if I had, I knew if I come home, you know, I'd have faced the music. And it wouldn't have been pretty. Why? Because my dad cared for me. He loved me. And he had that natural affection towards me. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, we find here instructions to the fathers. Now the mothers are part of this also, but the fathers are to be the leaders. It says here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." In other words, he commanded them, and they're to be in our heart. In other words, that in our heart is what distributes that natural affection we have for our children. He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontals between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates." Now, did he literally mean that you write out the word of God and display it over the top of your doors you enter in and on a post out in front of your house? No, that's not what he's really telling you. He says, it's in here. It's the rule of your house. How many homes is the word of God the center of conversation. I'm talking even church people. How many families is the Word of God the center of the conversation? How many times when you go home from church on the Lord's Day do you discuss in earnest, not in contradiction, but in earnest, what was preached that morning from the pulpits? What happens most of the time?
What's on the tube?
And every one of us here are probably guilty. How many times? How many times do we sit down? Do you sit down with your children and say, "This is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong because God says so.
Amen.
You dress this way because God says so."
Amen.
And I found out something too. This isn't your waist anymore. Your waist is down here. Anatomy's changed by the world standards. My waist is still around my belly button. Kids will laugh at me. "How come you wear your pants so high?" "That's my waist." "No, your waist is down here." "No, it's not." I haven't seen anywhere where it says God re-engineered the body. But they need to learn that. They don't have to follow the latest fads. When our son was in high school, they come out with a haircut where it looked like they put a bowl on their head and cut around it. And all the boys was doing it. He come home one day and he says, "Dad, can I get my hair cut?" And I forget the term they used for it. And I says, "No, you can't." "Well, everybody else is doing it." And I says, "Take a walk down the hallway there, son." In the hallway was the bathroom. He walked in there and says, "Turn the light on. Look in the mirror." "Okay, what's that proof?" And I says, "Everybody's not doing it." And you know what? He never cut his hair that way. You don't have to let them follow all the latest fads. Dress decently. Wear your pants around your waist. Wear your dresses and your skirts. Forget the breeches, girls. I see girls coming into school with clothes so tight. I made a statement one day. I said, "They must paint them on." Well, come to find out, I guess they do put some kind of lotion on their bodies to get them to slide up. That's not natural affection. Listen, dads, we are responsible how our children dress and how our wives dress. I don't want my wife going to town with 2/3 of her body parts hanging out. I don't want my daughters going all over creation with 2/3 of their body parts hanging out. Why do you think the rape rate is as high as it is today? Because guys are motivated by sight. They see young girls walking around with half of their body showing, they're only going to be curious. They want to touch. They want to be involved. Cover their bodies up. Young men, cover your bodies up. I'm 61 going to 62 years old, and I've worked in different places, and you hear the women talk, and women are just as lustful as men. They look at the way some men are dressed, and they talk about what it would be like to be with that individual. And then these girls at school, they swap notes between one another on which is the best guys to be with, and the guys say which girls are the best to be with. There's something wrong with that. It's not natural affection. And dads, the responsibility starts with us. It starts with us. But my wife, well, she just kept at me. So what? Who's the parent? Who's the child? You're going to have to answer, Dad. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to give the answer why your daughters walked around like streetwalkers, or why your wife went to town dressed the way she was. You're going to be responsible why you thought watching the ball game was more important than talking about the message that was preached that morning. You're going to have to answer why there was never any family prayer. You're going to have to answer why you sat down and gulped your food down without even giving as much as thank you, Lord. And there's no natural affection when you fail to do those things. Proverbs speaks much about discipline. We're not going to read all those scriptures. Don't have that much time. But read through Proverbs. My mother's philosophy was, God put that padding on the bottom end for a purpose. And believe me, she used it. Sometimes you didn't have it coming, but you didn't argue. I had a younger sister that enjoyed getting me in trouble. But when my mother got the razor strap out and began to lay it on me, I didn't argue. I might have said something to her later. Sister, that is, not my mother. And you talk about those things today and she can't remember. I guess you can call that natural affection also. But discipline is important. Hebrews 12, verses 9 through 11 tells us that our fathers disciplined us for their own pleasure, and that doesn't mean because they enjoyed it, but because they believed what they were doing for us was for our good. I remember my mother many times saying, I'm doing this because I think it's best for you. Things I wanted to do, places I wanted to go, but she said no. And my dad, she told me, no, don't ask Dad. Don't even go there.
That's right.
And if he told me no, don't you ask her either. Because he'd take over both in both cases. And he whipped with his hand, and it was a lot worse than her strap. He'd boxed at one time, and he was pretty strong. Children should have a natural affection for their parents. This involves love and respect and obedience. It's so sad. We don't have any members at this time that are in the nursing home. Our last one died a year ago when we come up here to the conference. But it was so sad when you'd go and visit those people, those older members in the nursing home. And there was just several old people, 70s, 80s, 90s, that their children just didn't have any time for them. So they take them and they dump them in the nursing home, and they might come by once or twice a year to see them. There's no natural affection there. I remember one time we was in a process of coming back downstate from pastoring in northern Michigan. And I stopped at my mother's house. And I'm not accustomed to looking at people's mail. But I seen a tax bill laying on her dining room table. And I knew they always run behind on their taxes. And she says, when I start drawing my Social Security, she says, I'm going to catch all my taxes up to date and keep them up to date. Well, I picked up this bill from the county tax assessor and said, if your taxes aren't paid within X amount of days, your house goes up for tax sale. And I said, I thought you was going to start using your Social Security. Well, you know, Diane, she needs some new furniture. I said, now wait a minute. How much do you have to have? And she told me, and I said, I'll go down tomorrow. I'll take the money in the bank. You catch your pay for your taxes. Well, I don't know when I can pay you back. Don't pay me back. Don't worry about it. You know, children, if you have living parents, mine are deceased, but if you have parents that are living and you're adult and they have a need, remember, for 18 years of your life, they put a roof over your head, they put clothes on your back, they put food in your belly. Why can't you help them now? They changed your britches when you were born. If they get old and can't take care of themselves, can't you? I realize there's cases like Miss Haddon that died a year ago. Two daughters that had bad backs. They couldn't lift. Neither one was supposed to lift over 10 pounds. She was a very heavy lady. She lost a leg. She needed care. They couldn't do it. They physically could not do it. So they put her in a nursing home, but they was there every day with her. There was not a day went by that those daughters were not there visiting their mother. If they could have taken care of her, they would have. That's natural affection. That's love. Children, you're to obey your parents. You're to cherish your parents. And it doesn't stop when they pass from this world. You're to respect your parents their entire life. Your entire life. Honoring mother and father, as we stated, is a lifetime duty of children. We're living in a wicked and perverse world that has forgotten what natural affection is all about. As I said, it's a shame when you can look at the animal kingdom and see natural affection. You know, there's many species of animals that mate for life.
That's right.
Geese, they mate for life. They mate for life. And there's other creatures also that mate for life. What's wrong with human beings? We've gotten too smart for ourselves. And we've lost that natural affection. We've lost it. God help us. God help us. That we, until the trump sounds, would maintain natural affection and not commit this sin. Because it is a sin. It's a sin. We thank you.